world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, this Friday night, the Friday before the Supper Bowl, the Stupid Bowl, the Super Bowl. And, of course, on Super Bowl Sunday, we'll have Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell as they do their usual stellar, sparkling,
pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. It's very entertaining. Commentary on the Super Bowl. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I am Phil Henry. And all this month, well, no. I take that back. Until the 15th of this month, the 15th of February, we have a special for our prospective backstage pass, that is subscribers to our website. Very quickly, I just will tell you that if you buy a year's backstage pass for yourself, you get a year free for your Valentine.
Oh, that isn't that nice. Now, I don't know, and I don't mean this by, I'm not criticizing Phil.
Generally, that means you are.
No.
Well, yes, it does.
No, it does not. I'm saying that if you were to give to a woman a backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show, first of all, the term backstage pass, well, he's already giggling.
Well, yeah, I mean.
All right, then why would you bring that up right out of the gate? You know, I think that there are a lot of women that will appreciate a BSP, and they're not going to get weird. And besides, who knows who's giving it to them? It could be the man. It could be a girlfriend. It could be a whatever. So.
I think giving a woman a backstage pass.
Well, I would think that is, it's different than a woman giving a man a backstage pass.
But that would make more sense, you see, and I don't like it. In other words, it sickens me, the idea that a woman would give to a Valentine, a male, the backstage pass. That sickens me, and yet, it's ingenious, you know?
Yeah, so were you even going to go on and even get to bring it up?
What?
Why would you even go ahead and go on and get on over there and...
Take it easy, bud. Take it easy.
He means, why would you bring it up?
I'm bringing it up as a way of pointing out to Phil one more area where he's blowing it. Blowing it, you know?
Well, I don't think I'm blowing it, Margaret, but I take that under advisement. Thank you very much. And if you hadn't brought that up, I don't think anybody would have thought about it. I don't think anybody would have said, ooh, my boyfriend's going to give me a backstage pass, or no, I'm going to give, what was that again?
Yeah, you see what I mean? Even you don't understand the vile and almost disease-ridden repercussions.
You know, Phil, I want to say, STDs are on the rise in Ventura County, California.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you. I don't need that. Wow.
You're kidding.
No, I saw that in the Ventura County. Now, a lot of people are not going to care because you're broadcasting far afield of the area that you are broadcasting in. In other words, you get into other areas of the world, don't you?
Yes.
All right. Then why would anyone care?
Because if they want to come to Ventura County, and now they know there's an STD that's out there.
Big whoop.
Okay, thanks, General, for that. So we got all kinds of great news for you. If you're a woman, don't give your husband or boyfriend a backstage pass to the Phil Henry website for Valentine's Day, which you can do because we are giving away a free backstage pass for every one that you purchase. That is a year's subscription. Don't do that because then the disgusting thought, I'm sure you understand. Then on top of that, Ventura County's on the rise here in California with STDs. All right.
Man, you butchered that one alive, General.
What do you mean I butchered that alive? What does that mean?
Because on account of Ventura County, and maybe they depend on tourism.
It's a good point. I mean, maybe there's some people who were planning on a vacation here based on listening to the Phil Henry Show, you know.
Well, based upon listening, Phil, I don't mean anything, honest to God.
Watch out, Mr. Henry. Good. Say it.
Go ahead.
I don't, but based upon listening to your show, if anyone wanted to come to Ventura County, I would think it's because...
I'll say it if you want.
Go ahead.
They want an STD.
Well, I'm not...
Yeah, you're not kidding. You really mean that. Thank you very much.
Phil, don't act hurt, because what happens, ladies and gentlemen, is he acts hurt, and then after the show is over, he goes... Wasn't that funny?
No, he doesn't.
No, I don't.
Well, I imagine that you do.
Hey, by the way, there's an interesting map, speaking of going places and looking at things, and I was just looking at this before the show with our close personal friend, Nikki McKee, and it is a map of the world where the continents and the countries of the world, the various media companies, the world, in other words, if Apple, Microsoft, and Google were countries. And in looking at this map, you see the relative size of each country, Google, Microsoft, or Apple, and you see all the little sub-nations that sort of circulate around those. It's pretty interesting. You're not going to recognize the world. There's no continent there that you would recognize as one that exists, but it's a piece of art that was done by a man by the name of Martin Vargic. He posted this on DeviantArt.com. And it is billed as the first map of its kind on such a scale. The internet, were it an actual, the internet, were the internet populated with companies, with companies, and what the world would look like, you know, the map.
What?
In other words, it's right there, so I can't explain it. And you can see this, Google, Microsoft.
What about Apple?
What do you mean Apple?
Apple.
It's Apple, bud. Say it like you got out of the third grade, will you?
I said Apple.
It ain't Apple, man. It's called Apple.
He's saying Apple, but it sounds like Apo. That bugs me, you know?
Why?
Because it sounds dopey. Excuse me.
What sounds dopey? The fact that he said Apo?
Yeah. It's like when I was a kid, they had a cereal called Mapo. You know, it used to drive me apey when I was a kid. Excuse me for a minute, folks. We're going to start the show out with this cough? Is that what's in store for me?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I'm not a doctor, but what seems to be the problem?
I'm hacking my guts up with what seems to be an allergy or something, unless I got Brian Piccolo's disease, and I'm going to wind up laying in a bed with tubes coming out of my nose in about a week, and Margaret will be weeping and humming Brian's song.
Would you stop, please?
I'm kidding. It feels like it's an allergy. It's in my throat. And it's spreading to my lungs, and now I can't urinate. I'm joking around, okay?
Well, it's not funny.
Anyway, this map is interesting. You might want to take a look at it. Now, the reason why I said what I said, by the way, about Apo is because when I was a kid, there was a cereal called Mapo. Anybody know this cereal?
Well, yes, Mapo. That was the maple-flavored?
It was maple-flavored, yeah. And even as a little boy, I'd see these commercials for Mapo, and I'd say, well, what is that, you know? And my mother would walk in, and she'd say, what's wrong, Philip? And I'd say, these, you know, motherless dogs are trying to sell me a cereal, mother, and it's driving me ape. And she'd say, what's it called? And I'd say, Mapo. And I know there isn't such a thing. It's maple, isn't it? And she'd say, Philip. Why, that's advertising. And I'd say, why, the dirty, motherless swine, and I'd pick the TV up and I'd throw it into the street, all 200 pounds of it, and I was only six.
Hey, all right, Bill.
Thank you.
I know you didn't do that. Did you talk to your mother that way?
Not exactly that way, but... All right, anyway, coming up, we will be looking at the Super Bowl, which is this Sunday. We have Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell, and we'll have Vernon Dozier as well. Harvey Wireman will help us take a look at that. Bobby Dooley is in to talk about the Justin Bieber situation as it exists. He's been granted reentry into the United States. We also are going to have Doug Danger in to talk a little bit about Justin Bieber. Six hotels have been mailed envelopes with white powder near the Super Bowl stadium. It looks to be a hoax. Kanye West will not be charged following an investigation into an alleged assault. The only reason I have that is... this is fascinating to me, these assaults and these fist fights and stuff that these guys are getting into, the bodyguards. It's like a common, everyday thing, man. I mean, these cats are getting busted or hassled or something about assault every damn weekend, it seems like.
So?
Well, what is that about, man? I go to nightclubs. I go to bars. I it's not like every week I'm getting busted, you know.
Well, not every week Kanye West. It's a different guy.
Yeah, you gotta understand, sir. It's not Kanye West every week. One week of Justin Bieber, or Justin Bieber, and...
Why don't you say his name right?
Because I can't, it's difficult, so I just...
Are you just going fast over it?
Yeah, Justin Bieber.
So what are you doing? You're saying Justin Bieber?
Well, that's a good way to do it if you can't say it good.
Who can't say Justin Bieber good? That's the $64,000 question.
Robert.
All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of this just titillating, fascinating, fantastic, and ever-so-rich discussion here. And our number is 855-500-7445. Let's see, we'll come back with... What are we going to come back with? Super Bowl? I guess. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and online as well at TuneIn. So if you'd like to hear the show live and free, it's not a premium charge to listen to our show at TuneIn. And you can also hear it on our website, philhendryshow.com. Now, the podcast, the archives, and the video cast, sure, that costs. But the show, the live show, no. And you can get it now with your TuneIn app at TuneIn. Just look for the Phil Hendry channel there, as well as on our website, philhendryshow.com. That's where we are each and every night. Now, I want to get Doug Danger in here because Doug, bless his heart, I've been saying that a lot lately. I must be getting old, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people say bless your heart when you're old.
Why do you think you're saying that, Phil?
I guess because I'm feeling very grandfatherly toward people, you know, even though in my own way, I don't really feel that way. You know, in other words, I feel mentally like a grandfather, but physically, if someone pisses me off, then I'll wade right into the fray and get my ass kicked that way, you know.
You're telling me that you still think you can throw down with men half your age?
Yeah, I know I can't, but I'll probably die, but it won't stop me from... Why are we talking about fighting all of a sudden?
You brought it up about everything like that on account of that one guy.
Oh, that mouthy kid. There's some kid in Vancouver that was giving me a hard time on Facefoot. And I said to him, look, kid, please don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me very much when I'm angry. I use that Dr. David Banner line from...
The Incredible Thing, right?
The Incredible Hulk.
What? The Incredible what?
The Incredible Hulk.
Yes, Dr. David Banner or Bannister. What was his name?
Dr. David...
I think it was Dr. David Bannister or Banner.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that, man. That's really great.
Now, why do you even say anything, man? You don't even know what you're talking about. I said Dr. Banner or Bannister.
That's the two options that I can't decide between. So which is it?
It's... God, what a baby.
I'm not a baby. I'm just asking if anybody knows. So that's the line, right?
Yes, he said, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me very much when I'm angry.
Yeah, that's great. But what? I couldn't figure out why he said that.
Why did he say what?
Because when the idiot gets...
Hold on. Why did he say what?
When he says, don't make me angry because you're going to like it when I get angry.
He didn't say you'll like it when I get angry because when the Incredible Thing gets angry...
Incredible Hulk.
The what?
Incredible Hulk. That's the green...
Yes, when the Incredible Hulk gets angry, he turns back into a milquetoast that rents... No, that's...
That what?
I thought the Incredible Hulk would get really angry and turn back into a guy that works in a bowling alley or something. What did he do?
He was a doctor?
That's right. I'm sorry. When the doctor gets angry, he turns into the Incredible Thing, or the Incredible Hulk, as Phil said.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, okay. Because I wondered where it came from. I thought it just came out of, like, Superman.
You thought the Incredible Hulk just lived someplace?
Yeah, like where Superman lives in a cave and everything.
Superman don't live in a cave, man. He's Clark Kent.
Well, yeah, but then he goes up to the cave.
Look, man, if there's one thing that irritates me beyond all measure, it's superhero talk. I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk about it. Understand?
Yeah, but what about the Incredible Thing?
Oh, look, he's going to start the ball now?
Why are you crying, bud?
And it ain't the Incredible Thing. It ain't the Incredible Thing.
Yeah, that's my mistake. My bad, bud. It's the Incredible... I was going to say the Incredible Bulk.
Hulk!
Yes, but it, there is bulk, right?
What do you mean there's bulk? Yes, it's just...
So that's the thing. I don't even... Well, whatever. I don't remember. All right, so back we are here on the Phil Hendry Show.
What is wrong now?
I don't remember what I was supposed to do. I know I got Doug Danger in New York, so let's go to Times Square in New York in just a moment, as soon as I get his lineup. Bud, where is he?
I don't know if he called in yet.
Yes, he did, because I just talked to him. He's on line 3 here. Doug Danger is with us here from Times Square in New York City. Doug is from the Orange County Courier and is joining us to talk about the Super Bowl. And specifically, Doug, I guess you got a little bit of a pet peeve. I don't want to call it a pet peeve, but you've had a problem all day long, man, tailing NBC, right?
Oh, yeah, Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Phil. The NBC, MSNBC has been here at Times Square. They have been interviewing people, and that's fine. You know, they're I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm working for the Orange County Courier. What I do is a print interview, and I go up, I talk to people. MSNBC, though, they got the lights, they got the camera, and they're going to attract a lot of attention. But the problem with MSNBC is they are not too good. They're asking a lot of dumb questions. They don't seem to be sports fans. I think they sent out here to Times Square a couple of people, and I'm a gay man, gay journalist. So I immediately identified the two of them as being neophytes and not really know what they're talking about.
Who are they?
I don't know. It's a man and a woman, and they did all that giddy stuff. Hi, everybody. I remember they were going to keep me away from the show. I said, look, I'm a gay man.
You don't say that. Who did you say that to?
I said that to the security surrounding MSNBC.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I said, I'm Doug Danger, gay man and gay journalist. And they let me up closer because I had my press card and because I'm gay.
They let you up because you're gay.
Look, Dickman, you and I have had this conversation before. I want you to back off of me, man. Back off of me, okay?
I have to follow up. Bud's right. They're giving you access because you're gay?
They know I'm a gay man. They know I'm Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist. See, because I use the shorthand. And I finally walked up to this one nut. A guy's standing there. He's got on a baseball cap. He looks like he hasn't slept. He looks like he hasn't eaten. In fact, he doesn't really much look like he's conscious at all. And I said, hi, I'm Doug Danger, gay. I'm Doug Danger, gay. And
Wait. You're saying Doug Danger, gay man and gay journalist.
Right, but I've got to get the job done, man. I got to file a story, right? So I had to get up and get it going. I said, like, Doug Danger, gay. And I just held up my card, my press card.
Doug Danger, gay. He probably thinks that's your last name.
Whatever. He said, okay, come on up. So I stood there and I watched these two people, and it was pretty scary because they were very amateurish in their approach to the game. Now, I know they're professional journalists and everything, but the young lady, who are you rooting for? Ooh, I like the Seahawks. You know, like that. And then the other guys, oh, the Broncos. And the whole thing had the texture and feel of a couple of people that were not their jobs. If a football fan was dying of thirst, they wouldn't pee into a cup and give it to them.
Oh, my. Can we not do that, please?
Doug, why are you saying that?
Saying what? Saying what?
That's the kind of language that we don't need on a show, if you don't mind.
I'm a gay man. Look, it's Doug Danger gay. Gay man, gay journal. I've compromised with your producers there, and I've said that I won't say Doug Danger, gay man, gay journal, but I am saying Doug Danger, gay, and as a part of the process here.
No, I just don't want you using the kind of nasty-ass language that you're using.
Oh, okay, I won't use any nasty-ass language, Phil. Wow.
All right, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. These two people, however they are acting as the reporters for MSNBC, you might find a more... you might just find a more acceptable way of describing it.
All right, well, the point is that the MSNBC sent two people into Times Square today to interview people about the Super Bowl, and you might as well have sent, Leona Helmsley or Martha Stewart for all the football knowledge they have. That's all I'm saying. So I did talk with a few people today and got them on tape and asked them, well, what do you think of the way MSNBC interviewed you? And here's what they said. Well, they didn't think. Now, what was wrong with it? They didn't seem to think they knew anything about the game that was asking me anything. Would you tell them? I told them I was rooting for the Jets just as a joke, and they said, no, I can't do that. They can't do that. They said they can't do that? Yeah, they said they can't do that, and they said, who do you like in the Super Bowl? I said the Jets, because I'm joking around, right? Huh? And they pushed me and said, get out of here. And I said, I just showed a part of my butt, and they got nuts. You think about it?
Yes.
What do you think? Yeah, I'm in favor of it. I know you're in favor of the Super Bowl, but what did MSNBC say? Oh, they didn't ask me anything. I said I'd like to give my opinion, and they said no, can't handle that. We can't use you. Is that right? Why? I think it's because I'm black. But I'm not sure, you know. Like MSNBC? We did. They were very pleasant. We felt that we had an opinion. I said, I'm rooting for the Denver Broncos, and the little Asian lady, or what
whatnot. She said, isn't that nice? And they kept on going, and there wasn't anything remarkable about it or anything else, except for the fact that I, and I did talk to those people about that. What'd you think? Well, my wallet was missing, and that was the thing that I'd said to them on that. So, so Phil, I don't know if you heard any of that, but...
Yeah, we heard it. And that one guy said he got his pocket picked?
That one guy said he got his pocket picked by someone on the MSNBC crew, and I said, there ain't no way, man. There ain't no way in hell. There ain't no way. But then I started thinking about how I could milk that and turn that into something for the paper, and I decided, yes, there is a way.
All right, hold on. We're going to be right back here with Doug Danger and his interview with the variety of fine folk out there in Times Square today. His interviews, I should say, in Times Square today preceding the Super Bowl and some of the comments that he got concerning the MSNBC. I don't even really know why MSNBC was on the radar there for you, Doug, but I'm glad it was. We'll be right back. And it's world-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico till 10 o'clock every night and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. This weekend, we got Super Bowl coverage with Bud Dickman and Steve Ozell. It's the Phil Henry, Phil TV version of it, and it's simply the two guys sitting and giving us their opinion of how the game going to go. Ain't that right, Bud?
Yeah, I'll be on there. It'll be pretty fun.
Oh, man. Just never mind. So with us right now is Doug Danger from New York City as we talk about the, we talk about the mood of the city and how things are going. I imagine New York, Doug, has done so much in the way of big events down through the many, many decades of its marvelous existence that a Super Bowl doesn't even faze it.
I don't think a Super Bowl blows the mind of New York any more than it does Los Angeles. You know, these are cities. We talk about big cities. There's only one big city in America that I think could fall over all gaga over having a Super Bowl, and that'd be Chicago. Chicago loves its football. They love the Bears. And having a Super Bowl... and I'm gay, okay? And for me to know this, as a gay man and a gay journalist, is commonplace. But for me to say that I'm gay and say that I know this, probably more so than most sports reporters, there's an awful lot that I know. I'd make a damn good sports reporter if I wasn't in the entertainment or the hard news end of things, because as a gay man and a gay journalist, I just see a lot of things and I know a lot of stuff.
Doug, this is General Shaw. Now, you say you're gay. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Now, how does that make you... What's that got to do with the Bears?
Don, the Chicago Bears is not... It's the Chicago.
Yeah, it's about Chicago.
All right, well, what has that got to do with... You're saying Chicago would be all gaga over a Super Bowl. Is that it?
That's correct. I don't think any sports reporter in America would point that out other than me because of the gay. And, again, I'm using the shorthand on that.
Now, what does shorthand mean?
Well, look, let the general ask his question. Go ahead, sir.
What does shorthand?
Well, there's a certain shorthand that I've taken to, General, because Phil Henry got upset with the gay man, gay journals, until I wanted to weep. He's always bugging me about it.
I didn't bug you about it. The listeners were.
All right, well, I came up with a shorthand, and I'd simply, Doug Danger, gay. And wherever I go and whoever I see and whatever I do, I will let them know that so they know that I am an individual to be taken seriously as a reporter and as a human being.
You say that so when you're out on the job...
No matter where I am.
No matter where he is.
What do you mean?
Well, like if I'm at the grocery store and I say, how much for these... Hi, I'm Doug Danger, I'm gay. I don't say that. I say, Doug Danger, gay, how much for the rutabaga? And some people give you a smart-ass look, and that's where then they got a problem. I don't.
So you're still getting into people's faces if they give you kind of the rolled-eyed look?
Well, if it's some punk kid, it depends. If it's an adult and I say, Doug Danger, gay, how much for those apples? And they give me some kind of a weird-ass look, I'll say, look, man, I'm a gay man in gay journals. That's why I go into the whole thing, and I tell them I work for the Orange County Courier. Unless you want me to do an expose on the vermin and, frankly, the possibility of sexually transmitted disease among your dock workers... And
so you're threatening them.
That is wrong, Doug. You can't use your journalistic credentials to threaten people so you get better service.
It's not for better service. I didn't say it's for better service. They give me the rolled-eyed look and the bug-eyed stare.
What is the bug-eyed? This is the second time this week I've heard about the bug-eyed stare, as well as the bulkhead.
Yeah, well, the bulkhead and the bug-eye are the same.
What? I don't understand.
The bug-eyed stares. What I'm trying to say is this. I'm Dr. Phil, every time I'm on your show, I got to go through this whole explanation.
Right. Look, General, all we're saying here is that Doug is a unique reporter who wears his sexual orientation proudly because of the discrimination that has been suffered by gay people, and he uses it in his profession to connote or denote a certain ability and honesty and a certain ability to discriminate information and understand where the story really is. And be anything beyond that, I think you should ask him about off the air.
Well, I'm not trying to, you know, Doug, I respect you, and I'm not anti-gay. I hope you know that.
No, that's okay. So far, so good.
So far, so... Oh, man.
Doug.
I'm not saying anything.
All I'm saying is the following thing. I just wanted to get my bearings on this, and I think I have.
You got your Chicago bearings.
Yeah, that's not funny.
Thank you, Doug. I mean, thank you, Bud.
I'm Doug. The idiot is Bud. Wow.
No, I'm sorry. Thank you, Bud. Go ahead, Doug.
That's it. That's all I got, man. But I will tell you this. If I get the role, you were talking about the bug-eyed stare and the bulkhead eyeball.
The what? What are we talking about here now?
Oh, look at this. Phil's losing his temper.
I was waiting for this, and that's why I cut off my questioning, because I didn't want Phil to start flipping out.
What is wrong, Phil? I'm asking people here if they just be very clear with their questions so we don't get sidetracked again. You're asking about the what?
I thought somebody said they wanted to know about the bulkhead stare.
Okay, General, that was your department, right?
Well, yes. He said that the adult that gives him a bulkhead stare, he'll let it go, but if it's a punk kid...
That's it, yeah. So if I come into a store and I say, I'm Doug Danger Gay, give me a pack of Marlboro, and I get some kid giving me that look, now we got a problem. And where the kid was, all you're going to see are shoes and his apron. And where's the kid? We don't know.
So what did you do?
Well, that's for me to know and you to find out. I'm just telling you.
That sounds like a violent threat.
No, not necessarily. How do you figure it's violent?
Well, if he was there 1 minute and gone the next after saying... After... What did he do?
He gives me the bug-eyed stare and the rolled eyeball.
What is that, anyway, the bug-eyed stare and a rolled eyeball?
You told me that your kid's sister used to do it all the time to your dad.
My kid's sister gave the kid's sister look. Yeah, she like, you're weird. But I don't know what your... These terms. Let's just suffice to say... that you are very proud and you don't take any crap off of anybody. Is that safe to say?
I think that's very good, yeah.
Okay. Doug Danger with us here from New York City as we talk about the Super Bowl forthcoming. And really, the essence of your report here, Doug, has been that the MSNBC crew did not do the very best job that they possibly could have done. And I will tell you that after you told us what you wanted to do on the show tonight, I actually went back and took a look at some of the tapes there, and you're right. It was a little irritating. All right, Vernon Dozier, as you know, is a football coach, a high school football coach, but has coached at the pro level, is joining us from Glendale, California. Vernon, how are you?
Very good, Phil, thanks.
And Doug Danger's here.
Hey, Doug, how are you? Coach, I'm doing good.
Coach, how do you see this ball game?
Well, I think everybody has said it, and there's no point in me repeating. I'm not saying I don't appreciate being on the show here, Phil, but... everyone has said what they are going to say. Everyone has sung the song they're going to sing. You know, I like to remember my father, you know, from Texas. And my father used to sing the Yellow Rose of Texas. Well, the Yellow Rose of Texas is the only one I know. And by the time he was done with that song, if we didn't have our bedroom cleaned up, picked up, and put away perfectly... then we'd have to, you know, he'd go into the room and he'd tear everything off the shelves and throw them on the floor and we'd have to start all over again. Oh, the Yellow Rose of Texas. See, so I came to hate that song with everything that is in me. I hated it. And it reminds me a little bit of this game because, let's see how I can tie this in.
What, okay.
Why did you even bring that up?
I was thinking of my father and,
Father, in some other context, do you want to talk about that?
No, I do not want to talk. No, thank you very much, Doug. But no, I don't need I don't need your discriminating and your what do you call it, the gay eye. I don't need that.
Look, Coach, all I'm trying to say is I'm Doug Danger Gay, and I can't.
I get that. I get that. I've talked to you many times, Doug. I appreciate it, but it's really none of your business.
All right. Well, you're thinking about your dad tonight?
I was thinking of my father, yeah. And I don't know why. It just popped into my mind as you and I started talking.
In what context?
Well, he died this morning.
He died?
Yes. I thought you that would be clear to you.
No, it wasn't clear to us. Why would it be clear to us? Why are you even on the air? You should be with your mother.
Well, my mother's been gone for 10 years. So I don't know what... I'm on here because Phil asked me to talk about the Super Bowl. And I'm trying to tie in my father dying and the Super Bowl.
You're trying to tie in your father dying in the Super Bowl, so you came up with him singing the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Right, well, that was the thing I was thinking of. The Yellow Rose of Texas, you know, well, I can't think of anything that ties it in, other than the fact that Peyton Manning, if he loses another Super Bowl or another big playoff game by throwing an interception, he's almost like me, having not made my room properly. I want to take everything that he is and throw it on the floor, just like my father did.
Coach, this is Doug Danger. I want to ask you, who do you like? I mean, give us a pick.
Well, Doug, I mean, based upon what I just said, I think you'd probably surmise that I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan.
You are picking Seattle.
No, I'm not. I'm going to pick Denver, despite the fact that Peyton Manning, in my opinion, will most likely throw another interception in the last four or five minutes of the game. That will seemingly put it away. But I think there's going to be a big, big defensive play by the Denver Broncos that will steal the victory from the jaws of defeat and send the Seattle Seahawks spiraling into a pit of depression, the likes of which it's going to be good, you know.
Hey, I want to ask you a question, Coach. So you're picking Denver, huh?
At this time, yes, I am. I'm going to pick Denver.
Even though you're saying that Peyton Manning's going to throw the big pick, huh?
I can't see him avoiding it. Peyton Manning throws interceptions. You know, Peyton Manning throws interceptions in big games. That's how it is.
I want to ask you a question. What do you think of Richard Sherman and his die? I mean, everybody's been talking about this, right?
Everybody's been talking about it, and they should not be talking about it because it's getting on my nerves. The guy said what he said. Big deal. It's called trash talk. Have you ever heard of it? You have? Oh, okay. Wow. I think this is why I don't like the Super Bowl, because it gets a lot of amateurs. It gets a lot of, a one time a year I watch a football game kind of people, and they don't really know what it is they're looking at or hearing, and they start to make a big thing out of nothing, you know.
Well, I want to agree with the coach there, Phil. Well, a lot of times...
Wait, he hasn't asked you anything yet. I'm still talking.
Look, I'm Duck Danger Gay.
Oh, here we go again.
All right, hold on, gentlemen, and we'll sort this out right now. We'll be back with Doug Danger, because I know that this is, you know...
Yeah, get on the phone and clear it up, you know?
Well, if the two of them start going at it...
No. We'll be back with more from Doug Danger, Vernon Dozier, more on the Super Bowl. The coach has picked the Seattle Seahawks, even though he's... excuse me, he's picked the Denver Broncos, even though he says that Peyton Manning...
Well, Phil, would you get it straight, for God's sake? You're driving me nuts. He said Manning.
I understand that, General. It's Peyton Manning will throw an interception that will seemingly throw the game away, but Denver will come up with a big defensive play at the end of the game. They will win the game, and so that's who he's picking, not the Seattle Seahawks. All right, and he said that he was singing the Yellow Rose of Texas because his father died this morning, and he was trying to tie it into the game. I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, it's obvious to me that the man is in some sort of state of suspended. His mind is suspended. His mind has been suspended. That's what I think has happened. I think that his mind is like a recalcitrant child in school, and it's been suspended.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, don't give me...
We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. More on the Super Bowl after this. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And tune in to listen to our show free and live every night, 7 to 10. Get your TuneIn app. And also listen to it online at philhendryshow.com. And listen to any number of affiliates that we have across the country. Adding affiliates all the time. And very grateful for our great, great, courageous, and wonderful radio affiliates. And who knows where the Phil Hendry Show is. We're going to go everywhere, you know. We're going to take on every form of media, every way that you can hear this or even look at this show. Brother, that's where we're going, you know.
Hey, Phil, this is Doug.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you, so you say that you're on TuneIn, And is that TuneIn is the app, and that's on the smartphone, right?
Yeah,
I've got the TuneIn app.
Oh, you have it, Coach?
Yeah, I've got that on my. I got it here on a. I got an Android phone.
You got an Android phone, and you have that TuneIn app.
Yeah, and you just search for Phil Hendry. He's got his own channel. They got all of your podcasts too. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I know they're probably going to have the podcast, right?
Well, there's the Bobby Dooley podcast, so there's all kinds of stuff. So if you go to the App Store or wherever you get apps for your Droid, where do you get apps for your Droid?
What, are you talking to me?
He's talking about where are you getting apps for your Droid.
No, I heard what he said. What do you mean?
Where do you get apps for the Droid phone you have?
Where do I get apps for the Droid phone I have?
It's got a Droid. It's got a Droid Apple.
Droid to Apple.
Okay, Coach, we'll talk about it later. It's okay.
Oh, either one of you guys is talking. This is the thing that I tell my students. I go, would you people speak some form of English? I don't know what you mean when you say the Droid. I got a Droid, which I understand stands for Android. And I heard what you were saying the other night about Androids and that whole human sexual contact with a robot. I wanted to throw my phone into the street after I heard that. I think you need to understand something, Mr. Hendry, that when you are talking on the radio and you're talking to all kinds of people and you are using certain metaphors and using allegory and things that are analogous allegory and analogy.
Talking about analogy.
That's right, analogy. When you do that and you make an individual listening to your program sick to his stomach, you're doing something wrong.
What did I do?
Well, you just said, Coach, that he was talking about sex with androids.
You were talking about androids and humans cohabitating. And,
I was talking about, I don't know what that was. You remember that, General?
Well, it was some conversation we were having.
Obviously it was a conversation you were having, but it was something that was so disturbing to me that I pulled my phone out of my pocket and I looked at it as if it was covered in someone's nose.
So in other words, you're saying it was kind of sickening to hear Phil talking about this?
Yes, it was sickening, because I had a Droid phone on me.
I'm talking about androids as in robots, correct?
Yes, that's what you were doing, but my phone is called an Android. So I pulled my phone out of my pants, and that act sickened me, because I realized where I was pulling my Android from. I was pulling it from my pants. You understand?
Sounds to me like he's almost crying.
I'm not crying, okay, Duck Danger Gay.
Hey, sunshine.
I'm not crying. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not crying.
Well, then, all right. You got sickened by me, and I would again say to you, as I've often said, Coach, this is a personality problem. It could be a psychological problem.
No, it's not a psychological problem, okay? When you're talking about humans having sex with robots, and I've got a phone on me that's called a robot. It's called an Android, but I'm thinking of it as a robot. And then, think of this, please, Phil, just think of this, because there's people listening right now. I'm pulling it out of my pants. Okay?
Yeah.
What about it?
All right.
Yeah, this is about where my guests hang up. Are you going
to
hang up?
No, I'm not hanging up. I'm just looking to change the phone from one hand to the other because I...
Because you what?
Because I wanted to punch something.
All right, Phil Hendry here with Doug Danger and Coach Vernon Dozier on the Super Bowl. Let's get it off of androids. Let's get back to the game. We got Coach Dozier picking the
Broncos. Wow. Thank you for paying attention.
Sorry. The Denver Broncos. Doug, who do you like?
Well, I think in this football, this is going to sound like I'm being contrary just to be contrary. But I think the Seattle Seahawks have everything they need to win this football game on the defensive side of the football. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks are a defensive football juggernaut, and that's what wins Super Bowls. At least that's what's won four of the last five Super Bowls, and I don't see it changing. Denver's got a marvelous offense, but Seattle is going to get to Peyton Manning, and I think they're pretty much going to wipe the floor with Peyton Manning, wipe the floor with him. Squeeze him out, throw him into a hamper, and forget about him. That's my pick. I think it's going to be Seattle Seahawks 17 and the Denver Broncos probably like 15.
The Broncos 15.
Okay, that was an unusual score.
Can I make a comment, Phil?
Go ahead, Coach.
What do you mean Broncos 15?
As in, that's the score I think they're going to get.
I know that, but 15 is a very unusual.
All right, what do you mean?
Well, to get 15, you'd have to have two touchdowns, and you'd have to have a touchdown, a field goal, and a safety.
Well, there you go. See how easy that was?
Well, why did you say, I don't understand that.
Well, do you want to pick a score, Coach?
I'll pick a score. If this guy's an entertainment writer, Doug Danger.
Yeah, go ahead. Use your homophobic. Go ahead. Make your crack.
I'm going to make a crack. I'm just saying, you're an entertainment writer. What do you know? If he's going to pick the Seattle Seahawks 17-15, I say it's the Denver Broncos 40-3.
The Denver Broncos 40-3. Over who?
Over the Seattle. Who do you think's playing the game?
Seattle Seahawks, Doug.
All right. You support it based on what? Because I think they're going to pound their ass into the ground. That's what I think.
All right, well, I'm going to change my pick then, Phil. I say Seattle 50 and Denver 10.
Hold the phone here for a minute.
Wait, why are you doing that?
Wait a minute, what? Hold the phone. Why are you changing it to that?
Because I just started to reassess after I heard how inaccurate you were. Then I reassessed how inaccurate I might have been, and I think it's now going to be Seattle 50 and Denver 10.
All right, well, I'm going to reassess. I think it's going to be Denver.
Come on, you guys, grow up, will you?
No, hold on. It's going to be Denver 57 and Seattle nothing. How's that feel? 57 to nothing.
You want to make a bet on that?
Do I want to make a bet on what?
On the game, man.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. I have to go. Why don't you guys do the side bet?
You want me to do a side? I'll do a side. What's your number? Give me your phone number.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Thank you very much, Doug Danger and Coach Vernon Dozier, who just made the pick. Or I should say, just made the prediction that the Denver Broncos would win the game 57-0 over the Seattle Seahawks. So that's, and then, of course, it was Doug saying it was going to be Seattle 50, Denver 10. I don't know.
Well, they're obviously trying to egg each other on there.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. All right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And tune in as well. You know, Valentine's Day is the 14th of February, and if you're interested in something creative, original, something just for the Phil Henry fan who is the love of your life, we suggest that you get the special that we're offering on our website, a backstage pass. We have a year's backstage pass gift subscription for you if you buy a year's subscription. So you get one year, and you get a year free, and it's for your Valentine. It's a it's a gift subscription for the Valentine in your life.
Well, that would be said last hour.
Yeah, I don't want to go there if you don't mind.
Well, it has to be dealt with, though.
No, we're not. No, it doesn't. First of all, it doesn't have to be dealt with. Second of all, the only way you guys want to deal with it.
Well, what did you say?
Did you notice that, General? He goes, you slur your words, Phil, as if you've either stroked, you're getting ready to stroke. You...
Never mind, okay?
Get ready to stroke.
I'm going to kill you, man, okay?
You just said you're going to kill me.
Right, I am. I did. I am. I'm going to kill you. If you don't shut up, I'll kill you, and I'll gladly go to prison, okay?
Mom, Mr. Henry...
Hold on. I'll kill you, bud, and gladly go to prison, okay?
Yes, sir. You're not really going to, though.
Yes, I will. Yes, you don't understand. Yes, I will. I'll kill you and gladly go to prison.
Bud, don't try it.
Just cool out, okay? Now, I heard the big joke last hour about how, well, if you're a woman, don't give a BSP to the man in your life, because that's really crude and vulgar. And that would take this crew that I got right here, the minds that you guys have, all of you together, yes, you too, Margaret, it would take your minds swimming in the sewage that it does. Where are you going?
I do not have to listen to this.
Sit down, please. You're the one that brought it up.
Well, Margaret, you did bring it up.
Only as a way of warning the women out there that if you give a man a BSP from this man's website, it means something else.
Wow. Well, you really got a low opinion of me.
I didn't say that was a low opinion. I didn't say that at all.
In fact, Phil, it may actually be, coming from a woman's perspective, a very high opinion. But nonetheless...
All right, never mind. So be sure to go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get yourself a backstage pass, whether you're a man or a woman.
Yee-hoo!
All right. So we are all wrapped up with the Super Bowl predictions. We do have some Justin Bieber news, but I do have, Steve Bozell wanted to weigh in. And I got just one other thing here on the... Well, you know what? Well, let's wait till the last hour to do that stuff. Tell Steve to take a powder, will you?
Yeah, Steve. Hey, Steve.
Do it off the air. How many times I got to tell you this?
Well, he's on right now.
I understand that, but I got other stuff I got to do. All right.
Yeah, Steve, you don't want to talk to you right now. You got to call back next hour.
Thank you very much, bud. Okay. The,
What? Yeah.
Give me the phone, will you?
Yeah, he wants to talk to you. Can't be talking because he's on the air right now, and I...
Give me the phone. Steve? Steve? Hey, Steve. Oh, April, how are you? You're not... No, I know you're not Steve. Then why did Bud say... Why did you say, think this is Steve?
Is it April?
Yes.
Well, he sounded a lot alike.
Yeah, April, tell Steve we'll talk to him in the final hour. Tell Steve we'll talk to him in the final hour. April? Who's this? It's Steve. Okay, Steve. What? Steve's angry that you called April Steve. Talk to him, will you?
Hey, your wife sounds just like you. Hello? Yeah, hello.
What happened?
Hung up.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much for that. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So in other words, his wife sounds just like him.
Sounds like it to me. I said, is this Steve? And she goes, yeah, Steve. I go, hey, Steve, how you doing? She goes, oh, no, it's April.
What?
Oh, man. All right. So, last night, as you know, we got a little bit into the whole Bieber. There's more Justin Bieber news. Not that that's the most heavy thing that's going on, but in our world it is. I got to tell you, I can't think of anything heavier. Where are my glasses? Oh, here they are.
They're on the floor, Phil. You know, I wanted to point something out to your listeners. I've known Phil for, a good 5-6 years, and I've never seen a man who's able to drop his glasses on the floor. Why are they always on the floor?
I don't know. I think it's because I put them down, and then I go and get some news copy, and they just fall on the floor. All right, pop star Justin Bieber was granted reentry Friday into the United States following a search of his private airplane by federal officials. Dig that. And that was in Teterboro, New Jersey. Margaret Gray has more.
Thank you very much, Phil. Yes, pop star Justin Bieber is back safe and sound in the United States. I say safe and sound even though he is a Canadian citizen. He re-entered the United States following the arraignment there in Canada, having to do with the limousine driver he was alleged to have assaulted. Now, the plane was searched by federal officials who they said detected an odor of marijuana after it landed in New Jersey. The plane carrying Justin Bieber and others, presumably his entourage.
What is that?
His entourage.
That's the French way.
Entourage, okay.
No, not entourage, okay. The entourage.
Okay.
You know, Phil, if I've got to go down for the count teaching you this, I will. The plane carrying Bieber and others, presumably his entourage, was clearing customs after touching down at Teterboro Airport when U.S. Customs... What are you laughing at?
Well, it said touch the Teterboro.
Margaret, if he laughs, don't, keep referring... You don't notice it, okay?
How can I not notice it when this imbecile is sitting there with snot coming out of one... Look at that.
Phil, that is very difficult to... He's got snot coming out of one nostril.
But it's funny.
All right, if you're going to laugh, and I don't think that it's a crime to laugh, if you find something funny, you have to stifle it. And would you please use a Kleenex or something, because you've got drip coming out of one nostril.
That's all, Connor. He was trying to stifle a laugh, and the snot come out of his nose.
Yeah, what do you expect?
I don't care what you do, bud. You can strangle yourself, smother yourself. You can hang yourself for all I care. I don't want to look at the snot coming from the nose.
Well...
No. I don't want to see it.
You understand?
Yeah.
So what was he laughing at anyway?
Never mind what he was laughing at.
All right, so the plane touched down. Oh, that was it. Touched the teeter. Is that what you find funny?
Yeah. Sorry.
The plane touched down at Teeter... You know what? Forget it.
Come on, Margaret. Now do it.
Margaret, you got to be a professional.
Oh, get a load of you guys telling me what a professional is. All right. Give it to me. I'll show you how it's done. I'm a professional, and I know how it's done. Let me show you how it's done.
All right, show me.
Go ahead, Margaret, show us.
All right, I'm going to show both of you guys, men, how me, a woman, gets it done. Hold on.
What?
I've got to go to the toilet.
They heard that.
Well, then why don't you turn the microphone off?
All right, Margaret's in the toilet, so let me just tell you that...
No, you can't do it. Read something else.
So we'll be back to the Justin Bieber news here in just a moment, folks. We also had a story here on Kanye West. See, the whole thing about these guys getting into fist fights, what is this about? I don't know. We'll find out. The Super Bowl is only days away, and the FBI and New Jersey authorities are on alert after six hotels received envelopes containing, quote, suspicious white powder, as well as a New Jersey post office.
Now, they had suspicious white powder and a New Jersey post office in them.
What?
That's what it said.
No, it says that the envelopes containing suspicious white powder as well as a New Jersey post office.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, the envelopes didn't also have a New Jersey post office in them, so I'm thinking that these were envelopes that were received at hotels and a New Jersey post office.
Oh, okay.
God, bud, what's up with you, man?
What? Oh.
Okay. What are you doing? Are you barking for sea lion of the year or something? Get it? Barking? Yeah. We're going to go and take a break now.
Are you angry?
No, I'm not angry. We just need to start all over again. You done?
Yes, I'm done from the toilet, so we can...
We'll do it after this break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, why are you going to a break now?
Because it's 14 after the... We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Back with more on the Bieber thing and more on the suspicious white powder thing and more on the Friday thing. More on the Friday and more on the let's get the hell out of the Friday thing. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. They join us online at our online store and pick up some Phil Hendry stuff, man.
You can get the CDs and you can get the Margaret Gray. No, is my CD...
No, your download is not ready yet.
My download isn't ready yet. Boy, I'll tell you, it gets more insulting, you know?
Well, that's not a very nice way of putting it, Phil.
I don't care, man. That's what it's called. Margaret, I'm sorry, but we will have Margaret Gray Best Of downloads. We have Bobby Dooley, we have Ted Bell, and all of our great Best Of CDs. You can pick it up at philhendryshow.com in our online store. All right. Now, getting back to, I guess we can get back to Bieber, and then we'll get back to the suspicious white powder.
Well, there isn't anything suspicious about it. It was cornstarch.
Yeah, what's suspicious about that?
They didn't know what it was at the time, okay?
Why can't they tell? You see, that blows me away.
They don't know, man, when they look at cornstarch. Do you know what it is?
Do I know what is?
Do you know what cornstarch is when you look at it?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know about cornstarch, but I know it. If I look at a suspicious white powder, and it's sugar, I'll know it's sugar.
Yeah, but that's granulation. That's not a powder.
The what?
It's granule, you know?
Granules. It's not powder. That's what Bud's saying.
Oh, is that what he's saying? Look, Dickman, don't take it places where you don't have a passport. You know, you're in safe ground here, but if you go into the land of the general gets pissed off, you don't have a visa for that. You understand?
No.
That's pretty colorful, General, but I'm not even sure I understand.
You're not even sure? That's what you just did.
I'm not sure I understand. All right, so
I don't know what cornstarch looks like any more than I wouldn't know cornstarch from dandruff on your sweater.
Well, that's what it is.
It's dandruff.
No, it's cornstarch, and they didn't know. At least the people that were investigating it didn't know. They didn't know it was cornstarch. They thought it was suspicious, and they did what they should do, which was they alerted the authorities, and it was mailed to these places. But Margaret has for us more on Justin Bieber, so let's do that, huh, Margaret?
Yes, thank you, Phil. I don't know where you guys get off.
Well, we didn't think you'd come back.
What, you thought I was going to be on the toilet forever?
Sometimes it seems that way. Sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, I was saying that the plane carrying Justin Bieber and others, presumably his entourage, was clearing customs after touching down at Teterboro Airport when U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers said they detected the odor of marijuana. This is a young man who is not very careful because, you know, the police detected marijuana when they pulled over his, whatever that car was.
I think it was like a Lamborghini.
Yeah, a Lamborghini, a yellow Lamborghini.
A yellow Lamborghini. Boy, I'll tell you.
Well, that's a waste of a good car.
Why, you don't like the color?
No, I do not. Are you telling me you do?
No, I'm not saying I'm a fan of yellow, but, hey, the guy's got money.
That is a real waste, you know, a yellow Lamborghini. What about royal blue? What about cherry apple, or not cherry apple, but What about candy cane?
What about celery red or?
Celery red. Are you trying to be funny?
Celery green.
What? What do you mean celery green?
What is that?
That'd be a great color for a Lamborghini.
Celery green? Not like a British racing green.
What's that?
Well, British racing green is a classic dark, almost a forest green. Well, it's not maybe a forest green. It's a little lighter, but it's a gorgeous. It's what they call British racing green. It's what the old Lotus used to have on it, you know.
Well, what about celery green?
What do you mean celery green, bud? That's a light, that's almost puke green.
Yeah, it's a cross between piss yellow and puke green.
Well,
piss yellow and puke green. No, bud, celery green ain't getting it done.
Why? What about, like...
Never mind, okay? So anyway, Justin Bieber has a banana yellow Lamborghini, all right? It ain't celery green, and it ain't candy apple, whatever the hell it is that you said it was. Go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you.
God.
Drug-sniffing dogs were used to search the plane, according to one of the sources, but no sign of drugs were detected and no illegal substances were found. Bieber's interview was described by another law enforcement source as one that is carried out for anyone entering the United States, and that it can take 10 minutes or 10 hours. The interview is routinely conducted to ensure people entering the country are in compliance.
Now, is this because he was coming in on his own private charter?
Yes. When you're flying in, you're not on a commercial carrier, obviously, because there is a customs procedure and an immigration procedure set up for people on commercial carriers that they do not do the same way for people on private aircraft. So that's how they do that.
Where, do they have, like, their own place to go to?
Yes.
All right. So go ahead.
Anyway, Bieber was interviewed for several hours before being cleared to enter the United States. Said the official with direct knowledge of the matter. The official spoke in Dutch.
What's that mean?
He didn't want to speak and give his name on the record. The plane that Bieber arrived in sat on the airport tarmac for at least 4 hours, and CNN saw law enforcement officers getting off the plane. Now, news of the search comes just days after authorities released police documents that accuse the 19-year-old singer of being under the influence of alcohol, pot, and Xanax when police stopped him for allegedly street racing in Miami Beach. The origin of the flight was not clear Friday night. This week, Bieber was booked on assault charge in Canada and so forth.
All right, so I don't know whether this is just a blip on the radar, you know, where you get, I don't know. It seems to me when this stuff begins to form its own little crowd of incidents, you know, like Lindsay Lohan or some of these other guys, that it just keeps on getting worse.
Well, I think, Phil, because I'm a mother and I have a son in entertainment, and when Jason J. Delmonico begins to get a little, he begins to get a bit claustrophobic as the fans crowd around, you've got a tough time breathing, it gets very stale, the air is tough to breathe, you're trying to move from car to hotel room, from hotel room to car, from car to stadium, stadium to car, well, from car to stadium, but then also from car to stadium.
What does that mean, also car to stadium?
Well, because you're going from the hotel, you're going car to stadium, and then the car stops. Then you've got to get out and go into the stadium. So that's car to stadium, car to stadium.
All right, well, why are we doing that?
That's probably the way you got to say it.
Yeah, that's the way you have to do it when you're in the security.
Yeah, on account of the security guys talk about it like that.
Okay, maybe I don't understand it.
No, you don't, Phil, and that's quite all right. So then you go into stadium, you do concert, you go concert, stadium, stadium, car. Not car, I mean...
All right, well, but you don't have to give us the whole, you know, security lowdown.
Well, I'm just telling you because I know this.
But your son is an actor, right?
Yes, he's an actor, but he has been a guest backstage for some very significant people.
Like who?
I'm not at liberty to say.
So, but just Jason, your son, has been backstage with some heavy hitters and has gone to and fro his own limousine.
Yes, but I cannot tell you. Well, Little Kim.
All right. Well, you don't have to tell Little Kim. You don't have to tell us.
What's with Little Kim? What, is there something wrong with that? Oh, because she's black.
No, not because she. There's nothing wrong with it, at all.
Well, I'm not at liberty, as I said. NSYNC.
Are you at liberty or are you not?
I'm not.
Well, Margaret, you just told us Lil' Kim and you told us NSYNC.
And I will very much appreciate it, General, if you keep it closed. The thing under your nose?
Excuse me, ma'am, but you're the one... Wow, you really want $300 worth.
Hey, guys, come on, Margaret. If you don't want us to know, don't say anything.
I don't want you to know. You're the one that repeated it.
All right, so suffice to say that Jason J. Delmonico, your son, has been in these kinds of high-pressure security situations, and you've said that they make him and would make any artist a bit claustrophobic.
Absolutely. Phil, you don't know until you've been there. You don't know. When he was backstage with Sugar Ray...
See, you just done did it again.
I just done did... Did you hear that?
But did you hear you, Sugar Ray?
Oh, okay. Well, let's let everyone know.
I don't want to hear you talk about any groups that your son has been with, okay?
I'm not. I said Sugar Ray, big deal. Mark McGrath is retired now. I think he's doing Entertainment Tonight, isn't he?
I don't know what he's doing. So what else?
Well, what I'm saying is the following thing. It gets claustrophobic. You can't breathe. It stinks. That's all I got to say.
Wow.
Well, there's a bit of hostility there, Margaret.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't like the fans.
Well, I don't like it when they crowd around my son, the only son that I have. He's a talented boy, but I don't like them crowding around him until the stink gets to you.
What?
I'm telling you, I love the fans very much. And God knows we'd be nowhere without the fans. Nowhere. But the stench. Just...
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about when the fans crowd around.
All right. I mean, what are you talking just about the normal... heat and temperature and body odor?
I'm talking that when the fans crowd around, the stink like to knock a buzzard off a crap wagon.
Well, that is a very harsh indictment indeed.
Well, sue me.
Margaret, I love the fact that you don't like people being rude to you, but by God, you just love being rude to people.
1 minute.
Just being rude to people, you just love it. All right.
No, I don't, Phil. I don't love it at all. I don't like to do it, but what are you going to do? What's a mother going to do? What's an N-word going to do?
Oh, God, man.
Margaret, you know.
Don't worry about it. I'm conversant with that kind of language. I know those people. I'm Margaret Gray.
Oh, okay, so there's no...
There's no discussion after that.
All right.
This story's for you, Margaret. It's called Devil Woman.
30 seconds.
That's about me?
Yeah. You enticed a guy to have the sex.
You dirty little...
Hey! Gonna be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Ow! Yeah, she pinched me.
I could be free evermore.
What a baby.
But I don't want to be, and I don't want to see.
You look at me like that one more time, bud. I'm telling you, the smell coming off, I smell fear from over here.
2, 1.
World-famous Phil Henry Show back here on this Friday night with Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and General Galen Shaw. We got through all of our Justin Bieber stuff here. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be with us. Dave Oliver now is going to join us to talk about this white powder. Dave is a young man who is... He's a law enforcement student. He's a criminal justice student, I should say, at North Canyon College, Northern L.A. County, L.A. Canyon College, and joins us. He's also an aspiring police officer, and he's with us tonight at Ted's of Beverly Hills, which we use oftentimes as a remote site for our interviews. I don't know. Ted's a very gracious guy, you know.
Yeah, he does it. I'm kind of going to get a promotion and everything out of it.
Thank you very much. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Mr. I'm doing good, and he's right. Bud Lickman...
My name is Dickman.
Okay, I'm very sorry. Mr. Lick...
It's not Lickman. It's Dickman.
Lickman. Boy, that's a good one.
Are you kidding me, Lickman? Shut up, okay?
Look, I'm really sorry, Bud. I didn't mean that. It's Dickman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bud was talking about, the white powder. Ted's at Beverly Hills. Ted likes to have people do the interviews here, you know, because it's promotion for his restaurant.
No, I understand that, and we do thank Ted.
But you understand that I'm outside. He didn't let me in the main dining room. I have to stay out here where the valet is.
Say that again.
He doesn't let me inside because I'm not buying no dinner or anything, so I got to stay up by the valet.
He doesn't let you inside the restaurant?
No, I said, are you going to buy dinner? I said, no. He goes, well, can you do it? Can you do the outside the valet?
You know something? I want to talk to him later on, okay?
What?
I want to talk to Ted later on. Okay.
Who you want to talk to?
I want to talk to Ted later on. All right, Dave.
Where, when?
Hey, listen, Dick, but are you listening to him? He says he wants to talk to Ted later on, you numbskull.
Dad.
Later on. Okay, Dave, anyway, thank you for joining us here tonight. We are talking about this white powder that was found by the authorities in New Jersey and in New York. It was at a number of hotels. It was also found at a New Jersey postal post office of some kind. Obviously, a hoax, but one that is intended to induce fear, isn't it? Wouldn't you call that a sort of a terrorist attack?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting way to look at it, Mr. Henry. You know, a terrorism attack is about, is there fear, you know, or are they going to, you know, create the terrorism that is necessary to create the terrorism that you need to have, you know?
What does that mean, create the terrorism that you... to create the terrorism?
What? No, I didn't say that.
Well, in other words, there has to be fear in order to have an effective terrorist attack.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And so I think somebody sending white powder, you know, to hotels in New York where they're going to have the Super Bowl game this weekend, yeah, that you could say that's designed, you know, to cause terrorism. But by the same token, I don't think it's a very serious thing. I think... it was cornstarch, as General Shaw indicated, you know, and so it's not really, you know, a serious attempt, I think, at putting fear into people, because the thing that's going to put fear into people is not only is it white powder, but hey, guess what? It's real anthrax, and that's the terrorism that can be created, you know.
Talking to Dave Oliva, an aspiring Los Angeles police officer and a student of criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College. So generally when there are these kinds of hoax attacks or hoax incidents, it's generally a young person, correct?
Yeah, a lot of times it's young people. You know, if it's older people don't necessarily engage in this kind of thing unless they are very angry. And if it's an older person who's very angry, then he's targeting these hotels. So the first thing that you're going to do is, as the authority of New Jersey, or if you're the authority of New Jersey, or the authority of, you know, which is not the right say. I'm not saying it a good way. If you're the New York authority, and you got authority over New York, you know.
Yeah, if you're the New York police authorities.
Yeah, if you're the New York police authorities, the first thing you're going to do is look to see if there's any disgruntled ex-employees or any people that have a particular problem with these hotels. An angry person or like that, you know. Now, a lot of times people who have an anger problem, it's going to be a real threat. But this one was not a real threat. It was just designed to cause inconvenience.
But, I mean, if it's designed to cause inconvenience, designed to cause confusion, designed to cause a bit of an upheaval, it is, in point of fact, an effort to do that. And so you're saying it's personal?
A lot of times the police think it's something personal, yeah. So you look back at somebody. Just the average adult is not just going to, because I'm so angry, I'm going to mail a bunch of white powder to a bunch of places that I don't really have no connection to, you know. That doesn't sound like something that a grown-up person's going to do. That's something that a little teeny kid. Now, the only difference, you know.
Yeah, what is a little difference, an adult with a teeny kid head?
Well, see, that's just it right there. Yeah, you know.
What do you mean, an adult with a teeny kid head?
No, what he's saying is an adult that has the mind of a little teeny kid.
Yeah.
That, you know, and that's possible. But that would then, therefore, be like a, I guess you'd say, or I shouldn't say the word, you know.
Don't use the R word, okay?
Okay, yeah, but I mean, that would be like a guy that's a mental retard, you know, or retarded.
Someone who's mentally disabled, someone who has emotional problems, someone who has perhaps some mental incapacity of some kind. That's how we get around using the traditionally, crude R-word. We're talking here with Dave Oliva from L.A. Canyon College, as well as aspiring to be an L.A. police officer. That means the L.A. Police Academy.
Yes, sir, yeah.
We're talking about the white powder that was mailed to the hotels in New York in advance of the Super Bowl. It was discovered to be a hoax. It was discovered to be cornstarch. And our number is 855-500-7445. Dave, General Shaw asked the question. I thought it was a pretty good question. Why can't you recognize that it is cornstarch just by looking at it?
Well, I mean, you can. I mean, an experienced law enforcement officer is going to, look at that, and it's going to go, okay, yeah, that's cornstarch all the way, 100%. Or an experienced anti-terrorism, anti-terrorism unit is going to say, yeah. But if you're just some dude opening up letters and, you're just like the mailman, I don't think you can really expect the mailman. You know, if you're a mailman and you're just going down the street and you're wearing like one of them hats that they wear, Mr. Henry?
What hat?
The hats.
The pith helmet that mailmen wear.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, like a pith helmet.
It's called a pith helmet, P-I-T-H.
Yes, sir. If you're just like the mailman going down the street, whistling a tune and dogs are barking at you or whatever, you're not experienced to look into an envelope and go, yeah, okay, we've got a situation here. That's why I personally feel we do need to have more of that. I personally, unfortunately, because I am currently in college studying to be a police officer, I cannot do that. But I would love to see more young people go into being a mailman that can recognize anthrax.
So you're talking about mail carriers with a much, much higher level of training in anti-terrorism.
You know they're going to be able to deliver the mail good.
Well,
man, are you kidding me or something, man? I mean, you can deliver the mail good, but to know,
Yeah, but just like you said.
No, hold on for a minute, man.
This is a stupid conversation.
No, hold on. I want to answer the gentleman's question, If you're going to be an anti-terrorism, yeah, that takes training. Okay? It doesn't take nothing, man, to deliver the mail good. What are you talking about?
Well, okay, let me just interrupt. You're going to train them to be mail carriers, but you're also going to give them training in how to recognize certain packages and
yes, sir.
And certain, shall we say, threatening materials. And that would necessitate a much higher level of training. But you're saying, okay, all that training is going to detract from the main job, which is delivering mail.
Exactly. If you're training a guy how to recognize what cornstarch is and he don't deliver the mail good, that's great. Okay, fine. So I'm not going to have no cornstarch mailed to me. But guess what? Where's my mail? I don't know. See?
What are you talking about, man? You don't want to have no cornstarch delivered to you. You talk about anthrax?
Anthrax.
Wait a minute. Wait, just hold on. What are you talking about?
Mr. Annie, that's what I'd like to know.
But hold on. I'll tell you. Bud is simply saying that while you train these mail carriers to become proficient in identifying threatening materials, as you said, Phil, whether it is anthrax or so on and so forth, that take care, have a care, that you don't carve up their training to put the mail in the right slot. It doesn't sound like it would be that difficult to me either, but I don't know.
Yeah, what if they're, because they always say, no sleet, no rain, no sunshine.
Oh, man, they don't see no sunshine.
Enough, Bud. We've answered your question. If you need any other, clarification, we'll do it during the commercial break. It's the Phil Henry Show here with Dave Oliva as we talk about the most recent ridiculous diversion designed to take the attention of our law enforcement away from very serious things. Some white powder mailed to hotels in the New York metropolitan area. It was, of course, a hoax designed, as I say, to just kind of upset and confuse and everything else. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva. We also have stories here to cover Amanda Knox. She's guilty again? Yeah. Phil Henry Show. It's It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We are heard live on a variety of radio stations across the U.S. of A. We're also heard live every night on TuneIn, Phil Hendry Channel on TuneIn. And you can hear us live on our website, audio streaming at philhendryshow.com. We have Dave Oliver with us here. Dave is a student at L.A. Canyon College. We talk about the threat to safety in New York. It wasn't a threat so much as a hoax and a disturbance. Some white powder was mailed to hotels in the New York area. And really what we're discussing now is not so much, the possibility that it was anthrax. It wasn't. It was cornstarch. But the diversion of our law enforcement away from much-needed, duties and having to deal with this kind of stuff, Dave.
Well, in a lot of ways, Mr. Hendry, law enforcement was trained to deal with that. Whether it's a real threat or whether it's not a real threat, law enforcement is trained, to deal with that kind of a threat, and it's just part of the job.
So they gotta waste their time.
Well, it's not really wasting your time, man, because as President Bush used to say, and also to say President Obama, all they have to be is right one time, and the government's got, the police have got to be right every time too.
All right, let's go to a phone call here. Again, 855-500-7445 is the number. And Charlie, hey, Charlie, go ahead.
Well, it's wonderful listening to the program. I wanted to talk to this young man. Your name is Dave, right?
Yes, sir.
Dave, you were talking about New York City at the beginning of the Super Bowl and white powder being mailed. Now, that was a scientist was they were closing in on a scientist for the anthrax attack. You're aware of that?
You talk about the anthrax, sir, of 9/11?
Yes, the anthrax of 9/11. They had identified a scientist by the name of Bruce Ivins.
Oh, yes, sir, I remember that very clearly, sir.
You do remember that?
Yes, sir.
Then you remember that man had taken his own life?
Yes, sir, I remember he killed himself.
So he killed himself. So who's sending this cornstarch?
What do you mean?
In other words, if you've got someone that has the moxie to threaten six major hotels in the city of New York, and he also has the moxie to send this to a postal service in New Jersey, this has all of the earmarkings of this guy, Bruce Ivins, who's dead. So that means there's someone else sending it.
Well, yes, sir, but it's only cornstarch.
It's what was it again?
It's cornstarch, sir. It's not anthrax.
No, I know that. I know it's cornstarch. I heard you and the other gentleman, whoever the host of the show.
Yeah, this is Phil Hendry, sir.
All right. I heard you, Mr. Hendry, and I heard another man say cornstarch and another man say dandruff. And you're saying it's cornstarch.
Well, yes, sir. It is cornstarch, but dandruff, I didn't...
That was someone else making a joke.
All right. So someone making a joke. All right. Now we're getting somewhere. So who then is sending this cornstarch? And the next question that has to be answered is, it's not dangerous because it's cornstarch, but who's sending it?
Well, they're going to find out, sir. Because Mr. Ivins is dead doesn't mean that there's nobody else that can do it.
Oh, no, I know that, but he was the most likely candidate, and he's dead.
Why would he be the most likely candidate? This is cornstarch. That guy that you're talking about, Bruce Ivins, was a biodefense researcher, a man who had access to lethal anthrax, a guy who was, out to kill people. This is some cat sending out cornstarch.
I know that, Mr. Hendry, and I'm not one of your teenage listeners with the cat and hey man, and this cat. This is not a cat, and this is not a hey man. This is someone that's trying to kill countless tens of thousands of people. You understand that?
Not with cornstarch, he isn't.
No, I know he's not going to kill people with cornstarch. I know that that's not going to be the case. But if that stuff was anthrax and someone had sniffed it in, like a lot of these lunatics do, and they're at a party, and you know how it is, they chop it up on a glass, on a mirror, I think is what they use, and they sniff it up,
Why are they sniffing up cornstarch?
I didn't say they're sniffing up cornstarch. They sniff up the cocaine. Is what they do.
Charlie, thank you very much for your call, but you're not really making any sense.
Well, wait a minute. I said that the cornstarch was being made. I understand that. But what sense am I not making?
What are you talking about, they're snorting cornstarch, if they're supposedly going to be snorting anthrax to kill them? Why would somebody chop that up on a tabletop thinking it's cocaine?
Well, Henry, I'm very familiar with your radio program and how you like to confuse people.
No, you're confusing me, sir. I don't understand how you go from cornstarch to anthrax.
But let me ask a question here, Charlie. This is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
You're worried, as we all are, about a possible anthrax attack, correct?
I'm not worried at all about an anthrax attack because it's cornstarch.
That's exactly right, sir, yeah.
Well, then why did you call?
Because I wanted to know if they'd caught the guy that did it. And the guy that did the anthrax is dead because he killed himself.
All right, and because that guy killed himself doesn't mean there isn't another guy out there that can possibly send anthrax.
But this is cornstarch.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Right.
All right, so we all agree, right?
Yes, we do. We all agree.
I'm in agreement, yeah.
Me too.
All right, great. Thank you very much. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Great, thank you. So that's fantastic. That was, you know, what we're talking about here.
If I did something wrong, Mr. Henry, you know...
No, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. You did everything fine.
Well, I mean, he was talking about...
No, that guy was confused, and I didn't even want to get into making him feel better about it. 855-500-7445. Let's go over here to the South Bay. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. And this is Jay, how are you doing?
I'm doing real good, and I wanted to just first of all congratulate Dave on his education. I think it's very, very important to get an education, and to, especially if you're going to go into law enforcement, you're going to want to make sure that you are as well trained as you possibly can be. So my congratulations go out to you.
Thank you very much, sir.
First of all, when you're talking about in Citizens Auxiliary Police, are you familiar with us?
Yeah, I think I heard about the Citizens Auxiliary Police, yes, sir.
Okay, then you know that we do flare drop.
Oh, yes, sir, I do. As a matter of fact, my cousin saw a flare drop, I think, of yours, but he probably, maybe you were trying to stop him, I don't know.
What was that?
Well, you were doing a speed flare drop, and he kept speeding past you.
So that was your cousin, huh?
Well, I think it was, yeah, because he said he saw you trying to flare drop him, and he just went around.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, that hurts to do that live on a radio like that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me just go past that.
Your cousin saw them flare dropping.
Yeah, and they think they're trying to flag him down. Were you trying to flag him down?
Yeah, I was trying to wave him down, I guess.
Yeah, and he just went around you.
Right, and then we sped up and got ahead of him.
Yeah, but you didn't do it fast enough because then he went around you again.
Okay, and your point's what?
Well, no, I mean, my point was simply that your flare drop wasn't doing too good, you know, and maybe you could use some pointers or something.
No, I don't need any pointers on flare drops. I don't need no pointers on flare drops. I don't need any pointers. All I wanted to tell you, young man, is that when you're talking about anthrax, when you're talking about anything that can be inhaled, you want to make sure you do a nasal swab. Do you know about a nasal swab?
Oh, yes, sir, I do know about a nasal swab.
All right, you want to make sure you do a nasal swab. And I was going to say the way you do that is you do a flare drop, but I guess if your cousin's driving around them...
All right, Jay, why don't you hang on and you can talk to Dave off the air and tell him how to more effectively do a flare drop so that those cats can... excuse me for saying cat there, Mr. LaFountain. So that those guys can swab the nose after they get the cars to stop, because you sure as hell can't do that if the cars are speeding past you.
That goes without saying, yes.
All right. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, the Amanda Knox story, and the Super Bowl, man. Steve Bozell, Vernon Dozier, and others, coming right back. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here, the final hour here on this Friday night. And we're here until 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We're on TuneIn. We're on philhenryshow.com. And with a backstage pass, you can watch a video cast of our show and have access to 5,000-plus hours of first-rate, first-class, high-quality internet, internet archive stuff from our show available to you. the MP3s, and it is the, as I say, the very, very best possible quality of our radio show. Comes right off of, in some of the stuff, comes right off of DAT tapes. And that was a bitch, man. I mean, when we were first taking over our website, almost everything was DAT. And
now, what is DAT tape, so that people at home know?
Yes, is that digital audio tape?
Yes, digital audio tape, I think, is the... And we had to find a DAT tape player. Now, believe it or not, those suckers are rare, man. There's very few of them. So we had to find... that's how rapidly the technology's been changing, just to kind of sum it all up very quickly. And we found a DAT player, and then it broke down. Then we had to get it fixed, and we found another one. So we actually have a backup. We don't need it anymore because all of our stuff has been processed. Basically, it's all been... taken off of the DAT, but we, you know, still hold on to the tapes. We have the backups, and there it is. So you can have access to all of that. Everything we got, you got, and it is top quality audio at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass, as well as our videocast archive, as well as the pre-shows that we do, the special event shows that we do, like our Super Bowl commentary, and so forth. So join us, won't you? And it'll be fun. Now, you know, this is an interesting map that I think we were showing during the pre-show. Do you see this?
Now, this is the internet map. Is that right?
Yeah, this is a map that was drawn by an artist whose name escapes me, but his name is Martin Vargic, Martin or Martin Vargic. Mr. Vargic, I think, is a Slovakian.
What country's that?
Slovakia.
Slovakia?
Yes, Slovakia. Okay.
Well, where is Slovakia?
Czechoslovakia, used to be Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yes, okay, so they, oh, I see.
Yeah, the country broke apart after the end of the Iron Curtain, so, and it became the Czech Republic and Slovakia. Now, this was a map drawn by this man, and I think it's just fascinating, because what it shows is the world where the country's internet sites, owned either by the three biggest, Google, Microsoft, or Apple, I think, the world's online communities. And it's a fascinating look at the world where it just comprised, instead of countries, it was comprised of online communities. So you see, Apple is a country, Microsoft is a country, Google is a country, and then there's all these sub-countries. And way down here at the bottom, in like the torrent-locked data sea, is the internet crime area, kick-ass torrents, Torrent Hound, Pirate Bay, Torrents, BitSnoop, Torrent Crazy, all these places. And then there's like porn, Your Porn, Red Tube, Hard Sex Tube, Dr. Tuber, Porn Tube.
Now, what is all of this?
These are all, this is like the subcontinent of internet crime and porn. There is XNXX, 4Tube, you know, Pornhub.
All right, so so what you're doing right now, Phil, is you're telling every young boy out there where to go to get his dirty kicks. And if my son, can I say something?
No, Margaret, I'm not doing that, all right?
No, excuse me, I want to say something. If my son, Jason Jay, if you're listening to this, you've got 5 seconds to turn this radio off. Do you understand? 5 seconds. I don't want my son getting his dirty, filthy kicks listening to this.
All right, Margaret, I'm not trying to give kids the heads up and where to go for crap. It's just, you know.
It's just what?
This is what's out there. I'm going to blame Phil Henry for it. This is exactly what's out there. It's out. This, the world of the internet is now a place like the Wild West where one can roam free and rustle cattle and burn down, you know, some farmer's house and all this other stuff until such time as... the sheriff rides into town, you know.
Well, when's that going to be?
I don't, you know, it's gradually, slowly but surely happening, but it's not happening overnight any more than it happened overnight in the old days of the Wild West.
What are you talking about now, the Wild West? I'm talking about my son.
Margaret.
No, I'm talking about my son listening right now and getting his filthy kicks. Now,
He's not getting his filthy kicks.
He's finding out where the filth is. Jason Jay, your mother is speaking. If I find out that you've gone to where the filth is, problems arise from things like that. You know that. Do you remember your cousin Eric? Excuse me, Phil, but I want to talk to my son.
You're on the air.
Yes. You remember your cousin Eric getting his fingers broken? With the crow? Yes, that...
Excuse me?
Never mind.
Whoa, wait a minute now. Cousin Eric getting his fingers broken, huh? That sounds like child abuse.
He was 25. Wow.
All right.
Well, I got you on that one, Phil, didn't she?
Well, who broke his fingers?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Maybe that person's sitting in this room, huh, Miss Gray?
Maybe.
Are you kidding me? You did that?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Did you break this guy's fingers?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, I would like to know. Did you?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I think that's a yes, ladies and gentlemen. It's a yes, isn't it, Margaret?
Three guesses.
Yeah, and the first two don't count.
Okay, then that's a yes.
Three guesses.
Phil, why don't you just let it go?
Did you or did you not?
Three guesses.
I'm going to kick...
Oh, you're going to strike a woman. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We have finally hit rock bottom on this program. Phil Henry is going to strike a woman because I won't tell him who broke my Jason J. Delmonico, my nephew's, fingers with a crowbar.
Oh, we got some real specific information here.
Excuse me, Dick Tracy. You are so far off. You really are.
All right, well, I don't even want to know. But that is the map there, and it's very interesting. And it does, again, break the world down into these places that, in a lot of ways, perhaps command or demand our loyalty even more so than the very places that we live. Despicable Sea. Now, what's in the Despicable Sea?
That's probably like where the little tiny kids get bothered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this looks like this is where those animals, you know, the animals that prey on children?
Well, there's a part of this internet web, or excuse me, a part of this internet map that borders the Despicable Sea, the Pirate Sea, and the Proxy Sea. And the reason why they call it Proxy Sea is because a lot of these people that navigate outside of the law are using proxy servers, and that way you can't find out where they're. You can't find their internet address. You can't find their ISP because they're using a proxy. And if they are thieves or they're involved in kiddie porn or they're doing anything that they don't want people to know about, and they certainly don't want the police tracking them, they use these proxy servers. I have to tell you, just like any other, in my opinion, and this is just my humble and uninformed opinion, but like any other place that is wild and is untamed, if you will, that is causing injury to people, sooner or later, they're going to whip all of this stuff into shape and they're going to lock it down. And the reason, I think, is because money's at stake, you know, and if you get enough people with enough money, you know.
Well, I don't know. As a mother, I don't want my son going off to some of the filth. And that's why I said to you, would you please steer it away from filth land. That's what I'd call it. Filth and dirt land. That is where the porn is, as far as I'm concerned. You can call it Proxy Sea.
Well, that's just the name of a place that you go where you don't want to know the name of the place that you're going to.
What? What did he just say?
Never mind. All right. I understand, Margaret. So Despicable Sea borders this area. Again, folks, we're looking at this map that was drawn by a Slovakian artist depicting the world if it were just a bunch of, instead of countries, it was a bunch of servers. It as if it were hardware and e-commerce places. And there was all kinds of different, you know, subsets of that. For instance, we mentioned the porn areas, Hamster, Pornhub. These are all sites, and this would be in a place called Internet Crime Land. Despicable Sea borders another area that is X-Hamster, Plenty of Fish, Adult Friend Finder, My Free Cams, Live Jasmine, stuff like that. And then you get further and further up away from the sewer, and now you're in YouTube country, World of Warcraft, League of Friends, or League of Legends, GameSpot. And these are all the games. There's Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu. That's like shows and stuff.
Hulu and Google and, yeah, you know, 4chan. I thought 4chan was some...
Well, right there, it says Great Internet Wasteland.
Yeah, 4chan is part of the Great Internet Wasteland. Deviant Art, which is where this guy posted this originally. So it's very interesting. You might check it out. I found it on Slate.com. I'm sure it's popping up elsewhere. All right, we have the Super Bowl to talk about, which we are going to do here when we come back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we will have Vernon Dozier back with us, Steve Bozell back with us, Bud Dickman will talk about it, and others. We have our predictions already in place, but we will hear them again and read some of what the other experts are thinking, like it matters. You know these things. You know these games. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show. She just went away, man. She was there and she went away. Yeah. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What happened to you, Nikki? You went 5-4 and then... You went 5-4 and then you were gone. And we want to make sure we get that countdown because we had a complaint about it. I'm just kidding. Yeah, sometimes we have the countdown on the air. We have the count into the spot break. Why not? Who cares? Some guy made a big issue out of it with a letter like saying, oh, I can't take the fact that I'm hearing. Take it easy there, Ace. You know, all it is somebody going 5-4-3-2-1. You know, this business that we're in, this here radio business, is like anything else. You know, there are behind the scenes and support, and there's a certain technique and a certain way that we do things. And if I feel like breaking the fourth wall occasionally and showing the behind the scenes,
well, it's almost like the radio version of pulling your pants down.
Yeah, exactly.
Why'd you want to do that?
Because I feel like it. Okay, and then we're going to do that. And there's no reason to get freaked out or wigged out or weirded out. It's all going to be fine. One other thing before we get to our friends, Vernon Dozier on the line with us. I know we had Doug Danger talking Super Bowl earlier. Although they were talking about the city of New York, we do have Vernon on to talk and Steve Bozell. One of the things I wanted to just mention here, I saw another part of this map, the internet map, if you will, that we were discussing. What the world would look like if Apple, Microsoft, and Google were countries. And there's a spot on the map way down where one might say Antarctica is, although I don't think it really represents that on this map, but it's at the very, very bottom of the map, and it's called the Land of Forgotten Websites. And we were looking at this during the break, and it was positively nostalgic, you know.
Well, I'm looking down there, and I'm seeing Ask Jeeves.
Oh, my God, do you remember? And look at that GeoCities.
GeoCities.
There's Hotmail. You better not forget about Hotmail.
Thank you, Bud. We got it.
Hotmail.
I got it, Bud. Hotmail. But these are all the Land of Forgotten Websites. Bill Gates Land, Microsoft Expression, Angel Fire. Remember that? Tripod. Harry Potter's Realm of Wizardry. Amanda Please. Kanga. I remember Kanga. Homestar. Macintosh. Apple Pippin. Basic Ice Shelf. Friendster. Here's MySpace Ice Shelf. That's what they're saying it is, the MySpace Ice Shelf. What they're saying is it's MySpace.
What's Ice Shelf?
That's what it would be if it was a part of Antarctica. So I guess it is a part of Antarctica. It's like the Land of Forgotten Websites is a frozen land. It is the Antarctic continent. Microsoft, Bob, Direct Media, Encarta, MSX DOS, Microsoft Home, Photo Editor, Active Desktop, Drive Space, GeoCities, Ask Jeeves, Excite, You've Got Mail, Alta Vista, this is the CD-ROM Peninsula, Eckerd, Hollywood Video, Neopets, I mean, just go Exaflop C, and then, of course, the floppy disk plane.
Oh, the floppy. We should get Frank on here because Frank had more damn disks and floppy disks, you know.
Yeah, I bet he did. Sorry.
Can I?
No. Shut up, bud. So there it is. I love you. What the hell is that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. No, it's the...
It's one of the older webs, the Land of the Forgotten Website, for God's sake.
I love you.
Yeah. And a bunch of other, My Doom, Surcam, Slammer, all kinds of things. It's a very, very fascinating map. It's a history as well as a statement of the extant place that we live in online. Okay, let's get Vernon Dozier here with us, as well as Stephen Bozell joining us tonight from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And at some point, I guess we should have Ted come on, although... Does he want to come on the air with us?
He's busy. He wants me to get him on.
Well, you know, just so we'd like to say thanks to Ted for using his restaurant tonight for our, some of the remotes we're doing. Coach Dozier, thanks for coming back with us. You had a pick of the Denver Broncos in this game on Sunday. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, and I did hear the I heard the reasoning given by Mr. Danger when he was on with us. He's talking about how Peyton Manning is going to throw interceptions, and yeah, Peyton Manning has been known to throw those interceptions, no question about it. But I think when the game is on the line and when the chips are down, I don't want to have anybody else at quarterback than Peyton Manning. I just don't want any. I don't trust having anybody else there.
What about Bob Waterfield?
Am I answering his questions?
Well, that's not a bad question, actually, but let me ask the questions, okay?
But what about Sid Luckman?
Hey, what are we talking about here, 1891? I'm talking about modern football here.
All right, well, let's ask the question. You say you would rather have Peyton Manning than any other quarterback. What about John Elway?
What about John Elway? I mean, you're asking me what? John Elway lost a lot of Super Bowls.
Well, Peyton Manning's lost some big games, too, you know.
No, I'd want to have Peyton Manning. I think that Peyton Manning is the man. That's the guy that I want.
What about Joe Montana?
Well, look, Phil, I mean, you can start bringing up some of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game.
What about Johnny Unitas?
No, I want to have...
No, all right, but just answer the question on Joe Montana.
Well, what is this? You're going to start making me look like a real boob. I mean, you're going to make me look like a boob and a half. You know.
Well, what about it? Joe Montana, pretty good.
Joe Montana was fantastic. Are you asking me that I... So, in other words, you're saying I could have Joe Montana.
You said the only... See, the reason why I'm asking this, I often hear people say this. If I can only have one quarterback, you know, and we get into this discussion...
Well, I'm talking about a guy that's playing right now, okay? How about that? It was just limited to that. Peyton Manning is the guy.
What about Eli Manning?
No, Peyton Manning. No, Eli Manning. Don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh.
Well, let me ask you something, Coach Dozier. This is General Shaw. What about Archie Manning?
Look, is this all of a sudden anybody with the last name Manning?
No, I've often heard it said, and I felt it was very true, that Archie Manning, had he a good team around him, would have been quite a spectacular quarterback.
I'm sorry, I had a belch. I think that Archie Manning was a guy that made things happen on a football team that couldn't make anything happen. Archie Manning could scramble with the football. Archie Manning could find an open receiver. You know, Archie Manning did everything that he could to make a very bad football team better. To that end, it wasn't successful. But I think there's no question that Archie Manning was great. But no, I'm going with Peyton Manning.
I think we can play this game forever, and I think that sometimes it's fun, but I think your answer is your answer, Peyton Manning. Now, let's get back to this reality that we have talked about, the interceptions in recent years coming at very, very critical, if not absolutely devastating moments in football games and playoff games, in Super Bowls, where Peyton Manning has not performed. You don't fear that happening again?
I do not fear it happening, because as I told you earlier, I think Peyton Manning could very well throw another interception, a key interception in this football game coming up on Sunday, but I see the Denver defense making things happen. I think that you're going to see Denver's very opportunistic defense rise up and put the hurt on Seattle, and I think it'll come at a key time. I know Seattle is touted as having a great defense, but I think you're going to see the Denver defense come to play some football, and that's my pick anyway.
Well, most of the guys, just looking at one particular website here, I think it was the MSNBC site, they're all picking the Denver Broncos.
And what was that?
MSNBC.
Well.
What's wrong with that?
All of you people just got done saying how they hacked up their Super Bowl coverage. I mean, hacked it beyond recognition, and I agree with that. And now you're telling me they picked Denver. So...
All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to be back here. That's interesting. So that kind of pissed off the coach. We'll be back with more from the coach here on a world-famous Phil Henry show as we discuss the Super Bowl. Coming up on Sunday... We'll get Steve Bozell in here, and he'll talk with Bud Dickman again. They're doing our Super Bowl coverage starting at 3:30 Pacific time on Phil TV at PhilHenryShow.com. Show, philhenryshow.com. And welcome back here. Final half hour of the show tonight here on this Friday night. We'll be back, of course, with you on Monday to recap all the horse dung.
You have a very big Monday coming up, don't you?
Yes, but I'm not willing to talk about it.
Is that about the animation show?
I said I'm not willing to talk about it, man. You got the biggest mouth. But anyway, yeah, we have all kinds of stuff happening next week. And for our backstage pass members, that's always something that I like to discuss with you guys before the show on our pre-feed show. So with the BSP, you can listen to all the ins and the outs and all of the weird stuff that's going on and why I think the way I do and who I feel like killing and, you know, just normal stuff. All right.
Was it true that someone didn't like to hear Nikki going 3-2-1 or whatever it was?
Well, we had a couple of people. I mean, I think it's natural. Let me just say, I think it's normal. We often will go behind the scenes, and you could hear Nikki doing a countdown to the break, and we had a couple of people saying that they found it disquieting. I tend to think that anyone who is of that mindset may be a professional themselves, and they're not used to hearing the fourth wall broken. Maybe they just think it sounds crappy. I don't know.
So have you decided you're not going to have her do that?
No, we didn't decide any such thing, but it depends on whether or not I have the pot open. All right, so...
The what?
The pot. The pot. That's a fader. It's not... No, it isn't.
That pot! It's pot!
Why don't you guys start to just consider the fact that some of us don't live in the weird world you do? Now, what does that mean?
That's a short term, and I don't know exactly where it comes from for a volume knob. Just pot. Just accept it, and we can move on. All right. So we have these Super Bowl predictions, and it's mostly the Broncos. Let's go to Steve Bozell, who is going to be doing the game on Sunday. He was actually going to be doing commentary of the game on Sunday, along with Bud Dickman starting at 3:30. Steve, good to have you back with us here, and Bud alongside. How do you see this game, Steve?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be probably a very interesting football game. I think... everybody talking about Peyton Manning this and the Seattle Seahawks that, but I think that one of the things that I think is going to be tested in this football game is young Mr. Richard Sherman, and I don't think nobody's brought him up. I know everybody's talking about the comments that he made after the last game, you know, when he was riding what's his name, that Crabtree, and he was talking about how he was mouthing off and all this. I didn't find anything wrong with what he said. All he was trash talking. I think anybody that had a problem with that has probably got a problem with people. But I will tell you this. I think that when you trash talk, man, you got to back it up.
Well, that's a good point.
You sure do. You got to back that up. And I think it puts pressure on the trash talker. So if this guy is going, yeah, you know, I'm the best there is, I'm the best there is, I'm the best there is, all that does is put him in the crosshairs of wide receivers, quarterbacks, individuals that want to maybe test him a little bit, or they may, decoy off of him and hit some areas where there's going to be less pressure. I think Richard Sherman defensively for the Seattle Seahawks has made himself pivotal and has made himself, I think, a key player in the game from the standpoint of really having to rise to the occasion, because I think the Denver Broncos are going to put pressure on him to back up the big talk.
Phil, may I?
Go ahead, General.
I think that's a very good point, because that guy's got the big mouth on him, and I heard some of the comments he made about the other player, you know, and so I think if I were Peyton Manning, I would throw the football at that guy and test how good he is. Even if I got the ball picked off and maybe run back for a couple of touchdowns, I wouldn't let off the pressure.
Well, what sense does that make?
I beg your pardon?
What sense does that make?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of sense that makes either.
Well, that's why I was a general in the Army, and the rest of you would probably be, buck privates, if not court-martialed.
Why would we be court-martialed? I mean, I can understand you...
Because you're questioning my strategy. And right now, I can tell you that my strategy would be to throw at this man until the pressure was on him so bad that he collapsed in a heap. And you people would be questioning those orders to the point where I would have to court-martial all of you and have you shot.
You're not smiling either.
No, I'm not smiling. I don't like anyone questioning my orders.
Okay, his throat's,
No, not his throat, anything. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard what you said, General, and your throat has dried up to the point where you're squeaking.
Fine, let it squeak, but I'm telling you...
That's what I do.
Let's get some water, General.
I don't need you to... Take it easy, man.
I think the General is wound a little tight there.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Well, yes, you are, sir, because I can hear the squeak. You know, Phil, I think that there's some sense in what the General's saying. You can say that Richard Sherman, the pressure's on him when you talk all that talk and you're walking on a walk, or you're not walking the walk, but you want to walk a walk. Boy, I got that messed up. When you talk the talk, you got to walk a walk, right?
When you talk the talk, you need to walk the walk.
What's confusing about that?
I don't know. For some reason, I'm going like a lot of people do. I'm thinking of the Chinese.
The Chinese cooking dish?
Yeah, I know it's stupid, but that it happens every time I hear someone say walk a walk.
Walk the walk.
Go walk the walk.
I know, but it sounds when you say walk the walk, it sounds like it's a cleaning, some sort of a cleaning procedure.
What is?
Walking the walk.
What are you cleaning?
You're cleaning the walk. And so to clean it.
All right, forget it, okay? So talking the talk, you know, you got to back it up. And Richard Sherman is, I don't know that he is the key guy, but...
Well, I mean, that's my feeling. I think that he has made himself a target, and I think it'll be fun to see just what happens in the game.
Bud, what about you? You'll be alongside of Steve Bozell in the broadcast commentary booth. What do you think?
Well, I know that Steve and I a lot of times disagree on a lot of the things, but for me, the big key to the football game is going to be the Denver Bronco defense and the Denver Bronco offense and the Denver Bronco special team.
In other words, the whole team.
What?
The whole team, the whole Denver team.
Yeah, the whole Denver team, but the three separate areas of it.
And that's the key to the game, huh?
So you're saying the key to the game is how Denver plays?
Yeah, how Denver plays against Seattle, so that key is going to be them too.
So in other words, you didn't say anything. You just blathered something.
No, I said that the key to the game is going to be Denver. I think Denver's going to win.
Okay, if they're going to win, then how are they the key to the game? I don't understand that, man.
In other words, if they play good, they're going to win. So they're the key.
Well, what about if Seattle plays good?
Don't matter. Doesn't matter. If Seattle could play the greatest football game ever played, it won't matter if Denver plays a good game.
If Denver plays a good game and Seattle plays a great game, who's going to win?
Denver.
Okay. If Denver plays an average game and Seattle plays a stellar game that is out of this world, who wins?
Denver. I'm telling you, Denver's the key to the game.
Okay. What if Seattle...
I already answered your question.
Hold on. What if Seattle scores more points than any team ever has in the history of the Super Bowl, but Denver still has a great game?
Denver wins.
Yeah, but see, I just tripped you up. Just got you right there. See? You see what I done? See what I done, Phil?
Yeah, well, I know what he's going to say.
What?
Yeah, Denver scored more points.
No, they can't score more points if Seattle scored more points than any team in the history.
If they scored more points than any team in the history of the game, then they win.
Yeah, okay. So who wins then?
Denver.
How does Denver win if Seattle scores more points in the history of the game?
Because that's the most points in the history of the game, but that game on Sunday is a new game.
You're full of crap, Dick, but I'm just telling you that if Seattle scores more points...
Well, that's not really a fair statement.
Why not?
You guys are talking about great game versus good game versus average game. You're not talking about points scored. Obviously, if a team that scores the most points is going to win. And you're now asking a specific as in score. He was just talking about...
What are you doing? Oh, God, great. So you're defending him. Oh, damn, man.
Oh, take it easy, will you, Steve? It's not like, you know, I'm sending you to your room without your dinner.
I feel very...
You feel what?
I feel like I'm being put down.
I'm just saying that if they score more points, yeah, obviously they're going to win. But that's not what I'm saying. Mr. Henry said it good.
Yeah, good thing I came in and said it good, because I don't think you were much longer for this topic. All right, Bud, you're picking Denver, and Steve is picking Seattle. So that's the look at the Super Bowl. Steve, I appreciate it very much, okay?
Okay.
Steve, are you all right? Maybe I should talk to your wife, April.
You going to talk to her?
Yeah, let me have the phone.
All right, so Steve Bozell.
April, hi. Margaret Gray.
Can we get some people around here to take a phone call out of this room when we're not on the air?
Hold on for a minute. Phil's on the rag. What? Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
By the way, make sure it's April and not Steve, because the last time they thought it was, you know...
Yeah, Phil's making fun of your voice.
All right, so that's that, and we'll see what happens. Super Bowls are... I don't know, man. You know what? My life, it seems like we live our lives from Super Bowl to Super Bowl. That's what it seems like. It's like, there's a Super Bowl, there's a Super Bowl. What happened in between? I don't know. It was last year that San Francisco-Baltimore game, and the lights went out. The lights went out at halftime, I remember. And if the lights hadn't gone out in that football game, nobody would have had anything to talk about. I mean, that was it. And, of course, you know, I it's a big story. It was a big part of the game, I guess. But it seems like everything that happens in this world these days is a potential headline. And it's because of the fact that there is so much of this available space online and elsewhere to talk about things. So stuff that would have been just a local blurb in a local paper and would never get beyond a little town someplace suddenly becomes a headline all over the world. You know, not just talking about Super Bowls, but talking about, like, what was that one story I was telling you about, General?
Well, someone knocked an outhouse over.
Yeah, that was an actual headline in a newspaper, and it made the rounds all through the Internet. Some guy knocked over an outhouse. An outhouse. Okay. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. More to come as we finish up this here, you know, Friday night. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And tune in. Hello, Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. All right. So we're coming to the end of a week over on our over in the land of Phil, over in the land of off-air Phil, I think.
I'm going to talk about that ridiculous, asinine Bill Gates picture.
Well, you can call it ridiculous and asinine, but I'm not the guy that created that Bill Gates picture, which has him holding a Photoshopped sign that says, I'm Bill Gates, I'm worth all this money, share this picture, you'll get $5,000. But there, you know, the what do they call it? The bloom is off the rose, man. You know, all the bull crap aside, people are, I mean, you wouldn't believe it. If I was going to make a map of the world and show you not so much the online companies as I were to show you the kinds of people using the Internet, I would have, like, dumbass land or something, you know?
Yeah, that'd be about the size of Russia.
All right, well, take it easy, bud. Because what we saw on the Phil Hendry fan page this week, after sharing that picture of Bill Gates saying he'll give you $5,000, I mean, you wouldn't believe the people that wanted to know when they were going to get their $5,000.
Now, you think those people are dumb. Why?
Because all it takes, it's one thing to say, oh, I think I'll share it and get my $5,000, and then say, oh, I didn't get my $5,000, I guess it's bullcrap. It's another thing to get... to have your hopes up. It's another thing to think that you're going to save your family. It's another thing to start telling a sob story about how your kid needs surgery, your house is in foreclosure. You may have problems, okay? And when you turn around and you make those the problems of other people and you threaten other people, you now belong in the province of dumbass land. You belong with the idiots. And what people were doing, they were getting very angry and threatening about not getting their $5,000. And I said... what I've said for years, years and years and years, which is you got to look into whether these things are real or not. Don't get pissed off because somebody fooled you. You know, don't get angry at someone because you're not bright enough to figure out that a guy like Bill Gates is not going to be giving $5,000 out to people. All you have to do is a Google search on that $5,000 giveaway, and you'd see that it was like 3 years old and has been debunked multiple times, you know. And you find out that some people are poor, yes. A lot of people are poor. But there are some that are poor who are blaming the whole world for it and believe that the whole world is responsible for pulling them out of that poverty and believing their bullcrap story about their hungry children and their house and all this other stuff, man. And they're upset that some guy, you know, threw a picture of Bill Gates up online and fooled them. So, in any event... we had that picture, and I'm telling you, I'm still getting messages on that.
Well, are people messaging you, or are they commenting?
People are messaging, man. I've seen a message from the one lady. It's all mad and everything.
Which lady?
That lady's got a church.
Yeah, that one lady says she's got a church.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lady that said she had a church. There's another lady that said she... There was another guy that said he ran an orphanage or something.
Well, how do you know those people run... I bet you those people are just as dishonest as the... as you. So...
I'm not dishonest.
Well, you are technically dishonest, Phil, saying that Bill Gates...
Wait. This is the nature of the satire. I've been doing this kind of satire for years. Years and years. It's essentially this. You present something so asinine, so over the top, and so ridiculous that no reasonable person can believe it. And therefore, you have effectively, you know, created a piece of satire. Now, here's the problem. Maybe the reasonable person these days believes that Bill Gates is going to lay $5,000 on him. I don't know, you know.
There's also the Poe Law, which people don't, I don't think a lot of people know about the Poe Law.
The Poe Law, yeah. You want to,
Yes, the Poe Law is some things are so wrecked in the verbiage of the young people today that you cannot possibly satirize them. They're already all jacked up.
Yes, like, for instance, the anti-gay...
The Westboro Baptist Church.
Yes.
The Westboro Baptist Church is an example of the Poe Law. They are so nuts. They're so weird, you cannot satirize them. It's impossible. It's impossible to create a satire of the Westboro Baptist Church without really confusing people. You know, in other words, you could. You could endeavor to satirize what they are, but then you're going to be getting into, like, huh? You know, you probably won't even recognize them. They're already messed up so much. It's just impossible. Now, the Bill Gates giveaway, you know, you can satirize that and say that he's given away a country or maybe a planet or something, but it stops being funny. You know, it's not even really funny. What I did with the Gates picture...
Well, you did. You said that it was magic and that people needed to believe in an imp called a Kang, and I thought that was very irresponsible and real weird. Gave me the creeps.
Oh, yeah, that was creepy.
What was creepy?
You're talking about how Bill Gates is magic and there's the magicness of it?
What? What do you mean the magicness of it?
Did you say it was magic?
Yeah, I said it was magic. Sure I did. Thinking that I'm talking to adults, obviously. We had a disconnect. If I say to the average adult, oh, Bill Gates is magic and he can create money out of nothing and all you have to do is face north and pray... I'm assuming that the reasonable person out there, and I think that it's true, the reasonable person knows that I'm full of crap, but there are just enough dummies on the internet, just as there were back in the day listening to talk radio, that they're going to, you know, because in back in the heyday of talk radio, you would get all kinds of knuckleheads believing every kind of premise that there is. Today, with talk radio sliding slowly into the sea like a chunk of California coastline after a 9.0, you know, you don't find that. But online, it's there, man.
Well, I still don't think you should mess with their minds because their minds are coming apart. And all you need is some weird ass who thought that he was going to get $5,000 from Bill Gates, lickety-split, and that weird ass's mind comes apart, and the next thing you know... He's all over you like white on rice, you know?
Like what?
Like white on rice.
Your voice cracked again, General.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I don't, who needs that, man? Who needs that in this day and age? So there you go. But we've moved on now to other things like that kid that...
Oh, that child. I want to say something to all of you mothers out there. Those of you who dress your little 5- and 6-year-old boys or girls... In not necessarily sexy clothes, I'm not talking about that, but when you dress them in high fashion or you have them looking like they're out on the town in South Beach with the little boots and leather jackets and that kind of thing, you're making that child look like something. I would never do this, Phil, but you're really painting a target on that child so that when I'm in my car and I see it walking across the street, enough said.
Enough said.
Don't act all shocked, Phil.
Well, Margaret, you're talking about running a child over.
I didn't say that, did I?
Yes, you did.
I said you're putting a target on that child. I didn't say run him over. I said that I would speed up to the child and then brake.
Just before hitting him?
Yes.
What a sicky.
Well, I don't know what's funny about that.
You have the same instinct, Margaret, that some people have when they see things that disturb them. The only problem is that you're talking about a little kid, you know, and...
Oh, well, okay.
How about if that was Jason J. Delmonico?
If what was who?
If the kid with the jacket and the boots.
Have a care, my friend, have a care.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back on Monday, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Sunday, it's Super Bowl. Check in with us all weekend long at philhenryshow.com for updates on this, that, and something else. Don't forget to get that free one-year gift subscription for Valentine's Day when you buy a year, all right? It's for Valentine's Day at philhenryshow.com.
Woo!